Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 188, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. And what follows, Psalter 188, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Leviticus 25, the verses 1 through 24. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Leviticus 25, the first 24 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. that which groweth of its own accord. Of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine. Undressed, afford is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, and nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits he shall sell unto you. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell unto thee. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety. And the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the 7th year? Behold, we shall not sow, nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the 8th year, and eat yet of old fruit until the 9th year. Until the fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession, ye shall grant a redemption for the land. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Justin the Cook, who were blessed with the birth of a baby boy, Mr. Harmon Lusink, who hopes to turn 80 years this week, and its country of Bolivia, where in this week there was much civil unrest. Yesterday the roadblocks have been removed, and to that end, the deputies have not went on their visit. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when it has pleased thee in the past week to graciously watch over each and every one of us, in the home, on the way, at work, at school, wherever we were called to be, when thou was granted in other Lord's day, and when we may meet one another within the walls of thy house, then we may repeat, then we are called to repeat, what the prophet of old has declared: it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, they are new every morning. Then thou wast watched over us in the night gone by, and then thou wast given opportunity, insofar that it was possible, to come up to thy courts. Lord, may it please thee in this hour to grant unto us and our children a profound impression of those matters, of all thy goodness, of all thy mercies, and of all thy patient long-suffering, but also of our manifold and great sins, O Lord. Do impress upon our hearts the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the transgression of the law, a sin against infinite purity and perfect justice, which requires satisfaction. Lord, then it is so necessary, as thou doest in the realm of nature, that the wind was given to blow. Oh, may it then please thee in this hour that thou may blow with the north wind for the uncovering of our hearts, of our life, but also the blowing of the south wind, that is the south wind of consolation, and that is the south wind of the gospel. Then thou was granted by renewal, that we may begin the time of Advent, where our fathers many centuries ago have thought it fitting for thy church to also have a church year, in the time of Advent and of waiting. May it be a time of prayer, and may it be a looking unto thee, for the time when thy Son has come upon the earth, thy precious gift, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved, and to consider the steps of his humiliation, but also the steps of his exaltation, and where thy dear Son and now sitteth at thy right hand, awaiting for the final step of his exaltation, when he shall come upon the earth to judge the quick and the dead. O Lord, may it please thee to grant an advent for us and our children, that by the work of thy Holy Spirit, that thou may work that true need. We need to be taught our sinnership, and that we cannot save ourselves. To that end, wilt thou grant much prayer, O wealth of grand awaiting upon thee, O Lord, and may it please thee to grant the revelation of advent, but also the application thereof, that there may be an advent people hungry and thirsty for thee. O, an advent of comfort, an advent of communion. O, for the strengthening of their faith, O Lord. Thou knowest that it is all thy work, and thou usest thy holy word to that end. May it be accompanied by the loving and irresistible work of thy Holy Spirit, to grant an exercised advent people, busy with the things of the Lord, concerning the salvation of souls, but also with an eye for thy honor and for thy glory. Ah, Lord, thou art still gathering thy church that shall continue as long as the sun and the moon endure, and thou shalt continue to remember thy church, because thou shalt never forsake the work of thine own hands. Ah, Lord, we read in the scriptures that before the birth of thy Son, there was an exercised people among young and old, and then thou wast granted the desire of their heart. The prophet of old has declared, with my soul have I desired thee in the night, O Lord. It is thy work to grant those desires and to be exercised with those desires, but also to fulfill them. O Lord, so we commend the whole congregation unto thee, from the youngest to the oldest. We all stand in need of the same thing. We need to be saved through the meritorial work of thy dear Son as the way to the Father by the work of the Holy Spirit. Wilt thou remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth? Wilt thou remember our mission field? In the past week, there has been much civil unrest, many uncertainties. But in the day of yesterday, there has been much restoration. So we commend the team unto thee. Wilt thou watch over them and bless the labors in this day? Lord, in the past week, then thou wast gladdened and blessed the father and mother with the birth of a little child. May they be humbled thereunder to receive a broken and a humble heart with the precious gift thou hast entrusted unto them for the first time in their married life, a little son. Lord, may he be born to be born again, and may he be a child of many prayers. Wilt thou remember the grandparents, the great-grandparents, with their increased blessing, but also an increased responsibility. Remember the barren ones amongst us, and remember the mothers with the unborn. Lord, we commend unto thee a young couple who were united in holy matrimony in this past week. It is the first Lord's Day as husband and wife. Do bless thy holy word, then in a special way, then the first Lord's Day in their married state, that shall be so special and so unforgettable. Do grant them that special place at thy footstool to come with their blessings, with their needs, with their desires, and with their sins. Wilt thou grant unto all of our young people that thou may grant a future spouse with whom they may go through this life around the old truths and the old ways. O Lord, we commend unto thee all our elderly ones. Remember all the mourning ones in our midst, concerning the sick and afflicted, then by renewal we may acknowledge thee that there are none in the hospital. O Lord, may we be given to see thy hand therein. May we not forget all those who are struggling with weariness, with pain, with concerns, and with fears. Oh, may all the callings be sanctified. And Lord, when we are healthy, may we be given many a time to stop and to pause and to consider all thy mercies, and also to examine how we use our strength and health, whether it is to first seek the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and then thou hast promised that all other things shall be added unto it, Lord. Impress upon all our hearts the shortness and the solemnity of life and the certainty of death. Then thou granteth this precious time of grace, that we may be given to seek and find thee, and our Lord. Thou wast looked down from heaven, and there were none. But now the wonder of free and sovereign grace, that thou art gathering thy chosen church, our Lord. Wilt thou do it in this day? We humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Anoint with fresh oil from above. Do remember all the listeners, from the youngest to the oldest, those that are lawfully hindered, those that are at home, when they may listen along. Do grant them a blessing, and that the outgoing of the service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great and worthy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 222, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. And now to God, our strength and Savior, I render praise and loudly sing. In our Father's God rejoicing, all your noblest music bring. And what follows, Psalter 222, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. Thank you. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Leviticus 25, the verses 9 and 10. And then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. Our text words speak of the blessed year of Jubilee, with four thoughts. In the first place, the poverty it implied. Secondly, the lessons it taught. Thirdly, the manner it was announced. And fourthly, the blessings it granted. The blessed year of Jubilee. The poverty it implied. The lessons it taught. The manner it was announced. And the blessings it granted. Thus first, the poverty it implied. Beloved congregation, the instruction in this chapter that was given unto Moses and to the children of Israel was given at Mount Sinai when they were traveling to the promised land. And then in this chapter, then it speaks of a civil law, the civil laws which the Lord has given. We know that the Lord has given a threefold law to the children of Israel. In the first place, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, which is an everlasting law. The Lord has given the ceremonial laws concerning their religious worship for the children of Israel. But he has also given the civil laws that concern the political life of Israel. It was a country that was directly governed by the Lord. Now concerning this chapter before our text words, then in the verses 2 through 7, it speaks of the sabbatical year, the every seventh year, and in our text words, then it speaks of the 50th year, that is the year of Jubilee. Then those two feasts, those 2 years, the sabbatical year and the year of Jubilee, they have much in common, and then it is not always exactly so clear to discern where the line exactly lies. Concerning the sabbatical year, then every 7 years, then debts would be forgiven, but then also slaves would be freed. We read there of already in Exodus 21, the first 6 verses, when there has come a slave on account of certain circumstances, then at the end of the seventh year, then that slave, that servant, was allowed to go free. But if he came as a single man, and in the meantime has received a dear wife and children, then we read of such a one with a love, heart full of love, that he would say, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children. And then such a master would take him to the doorpost, and with an awl bore through his ear, that he would be subject to that master forever. Thus on the sabbatical year, then debts were forgiven, slaves were freed. And now in the year of Jubilee, that was the 50th year, on the sabbatical year, then the farmer may not work his land, may not prune his vineyard. Does not mean the farmer had nothing to do. Still the animals and other matters to be taken care of. But on the sabbatical year, then the Lord has commanded that the land must rest. And that was an act of faith given to believe that the Lord would give sufficient on the sixth year that would carry over to the next year. And now the year of Jubilee that followed a sabbatical year, thus that implies that the land would lie fallow for 2 years. They were not to work the land, not to plant, although the vineyards, and there would still be some that would grow by itself, especially for the poor. That means that the Lord would give sufficient on the sixth year to bring them over to the ninth. And now on the year of Jubilee, that was a very special year when the trumpet would be sounded, when it would be heard throughout all the land, and then those that have lost their possessions and their inheritance, because it was clearly commanded to the children of Israel that they may not sell their inheritance that has been the portion that the Lord has given to each tribe and to each family. But then it is possible on account of trials, afflictions, also because of their own doing, that they would come into debt. And to get out of that debt, then their land would be sold to another. Think of 2 Kings 4 of that widow, a husband who was of the sons of the prophets, one that feared the Lord, but he has died. And now concerning that debt that that widow had, then the creditor has come, and he has demanded to that widow, "Widow, I must come and pick up your 2 sons that they may labor for me so that debt could be paid." And now concerning those that have sold their inheritance, that have lost it all, what a deep way that was for them. Oh, then we can understand maybe the opportunity when they would walk past that inheritance that was farmed by another, how deep that would cut. But now the Lord has given a special law that the poor may be remembered, those that have come into debt. And then on the year of Jubilee, thus that trumpet when it was sounded, that had a special meaning. Oh, they have all heard it, all the people in the land. But for the rich and for the proud, it did not mean so much. But now for one that has lost his inheritance, oh, what a precious sound that was, the sound of the trumpet. And then it seems to be implied that under different circumstances, when there were still slaves, maybe those out of Exodus 21, and that also on the year of Jubilee, when the trumpet has sounded, that they would be freed. Thus they would be freed, returned to their inheritance, and we have heard it, they would return to their families. Thus the precious sound of the trumpet, the blowing of the trumpet, what a precious sound that was for the poor and for the needy. Are there such in my midst? And then I'm not speaking outwardly, because when we speak of Advent, that speaks of spiritual matters, of course. Christ has also purchased his people for body and for soul. But by the work of the Holy Spirit, by that uncovering, then the Lord as a people, because all commentators, they are agreed that this year of Jubilee, that has a special spiritual meaning that points to spiritual matters, that points to the saving of the soul. And now the Spirit, when the Spirit works, then he teaches that people how poor they are. Because in the Old Testament, when one has become a slave, a servant, then such a servant had to work very hard to try to pay off that debt. But then the year of Jubilee implied that with all their working, that they were still a servant, and it was impossible to buy back that inheritance. Thus that speaks of a poor and of a needy people. For such a people, the proclamation of Advent, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blowing of the trumpet that receives great value, and not only in beginning, but in continuance. It is true the exercises, they are different for the daughters of Jerusalem and for the bride. But the Lord has a people that they seek that blessed and that sweet communion, which is wrought by the application of the Holy Spirit. Oh, in the Old Testament there were those that were very poor, that were laboring. And now those spiritual need and poor ones, they are poor in so many respects. Who wants to begin? They are poor in righteousness concerning that payment. As we have heard out of the Heidelberg Catechism, that justice needs to be satisfied. And then those spiritual poor ones, oh, they work so hard, many shifts a day, to try to satisfy the Lord, but still poor and needy. They are poor in the way of sanctification, in the way of holiness. Read what Paul has written to the churches of the Romans in chapter 7 concerning that poverty. Oh, he has learned he was rich in another, but of himself as so poor. Oh, then the church learns that they are poor in faith, can bring forth nothing but unbelief. Ah, that God is honoring unbelief. Oh, they learn that they are poor in prayers. The disciples have asked Christ in Luke 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. They learn that they are poor in thanksgiving. and they learn that they are poor in desire, O poor in knowledge. Ah, concerning that desire, oh, there are times that they may say with the prophet of old, Isaiah 26, verse 9, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Ah, they learn of that thirsting and hungering for righteousness. Oh, they learn those lively desires for the Lord and everything that pertains thereto. But the church learns that it all comes from above, that of themselves they have nothing. And further, that inheritance they have lost was a precious inheritance which they have received and their covenant had Adam in paradise. But in him they have broken that covenant. They have sent it all away. It is inheritance lost. Thus the same as the natural Israelite that has lost his inheritance, it is true for the Israelites. Could be because of providence, sickness, other reasons. But for the true Israelite that is wrought upon by the Spirit, they learn that it is their own fault and impossible to regain that inheritance. They remain of self a poor and a needy people. When we think of that lost inheritance, that is paradise, we read thereof in the first chapters of Genesis. And then the last two chapters of the Bible in Revelation, then we read of a restored paradise. And in between those chapters, then we read of the blowing of the trumpet of Jubilee to declare the wonderful works of free and sovereign grace. Our second thought, the lessons it taught. The Jewish nation, they had 2 years. A civil year and a religious year. So we could also say for the church, we have our civil year that begins in January 1, but also the church year. Our fathers have thought it profitable for the church in a special way to be given to stand still, to meditate and consider the wonderful work of redemption, the work of a triune God. The religious year for the children of Israel that began in the spring. We read thereof in Exodus 12 that it would be the beginning of months, and on the 14th day of that month, the Passover was celebrated and they were led out of the land of Egypt. Then in the religious year, then they had their special feasts, the feast of the Passover, the feast of Pentecost, and the great day of atonement, which was on the 10th day of the 7th month. And now the civil year for the children of Israel, that began on the first day of the 7th month, approximately our October. And then on the first day of the civil year, then the trumpet was also blown. It was a special day for the children of Israel. But now the day of Jubilee, that was on the 10th day of the 7th month, that's on the 10th day of the civil year. And what has now transpired? on the 10th day of the 7th year. Thus, something very profound has taken place before the trumpet of the Jubilee was blown. And that was the great day of atonement. That was a day when the children of Israel were called upon to fast and to pray from the evening of the 9th day to the evening of the 10th day. And now on the great day of atonement, that was one of the great feasts. Then the children of Israel have come up to the sanctuary of the Lord. And then there were two goats. And then the lots were cast. The one goat would be sacrificed. Then Aaron, the high priest, on behalf of the nation, with the sins of the past year, then he has placed his hands upon that goat, symbolically implying the transfer of sin. And then the goat was killed, the blood was gathered, and then the high priestess went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled that blood and has returned to the children of Israel to lay the blessing upon the children of Israel. And then the second goat, that is called the scapegoat, then by renewal the hands were laid upon. And then that goat, by a certain man, then he was led into the wilderness, where that goat would never return, implying that the Lord shall not remember the sins of his church no more. Thus, before the trumpet of the Jubilee was sounded, thought in the evening, then first there was a sacrifice for sin. And now concerning the lessons and what was implied and what was commanded when the trumpet of the Jubilee was sounded, it was not optional. Then there were many lessons in it for the children of Israel. In the first place, that the Lord, that he is the sovereign owner of all the land. Do we not read in Psalm 24 verse 1 that the earth is the Lord's with the fullness thereof? And in Psalm 50 verse 10 that every beast of the Lord is his, of the forest, a cattle upon 10,000, they are all his. Because we read specifically concerning this feast in verse 23, for the land is mine. Then secondly, it was a special feast that the Lord was remembering the poor and the needy in the land. To say it simply, for those slaves and servants, for those families, that they had an opportunity to make a new beginning when they may receive their inheritance back. It also was special instruction, but also a special blessing for the rich that had accumulated much land, to instruct them that they were only sojourners and strangers, as we read also in verse 23, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. Thus for the rich to consider that we have no continuing city. Oh, the trumpet of the Jubilee, that was the call unto them, as we read in Matthew 6 verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Oh, then for those whom the Lord has prospered, and then the sabbatical year and the year of Jubilee, that was a time one they may more rest concerning their labors, and to consider that one thing needful, because we read in Matthew 16, verse 26, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his never dying soul? Then further, then these feasts, then it was a calling in a special way to trust that the Lord would do what he had promised, that he would cause sufficient to grow in a former year, that the children of Israel, that they would not suffer want. Then the sabbatical year and the feast of Jubilee, then it was a time when that people may in a special way be given to reflect upon the things of the Lord. And now we can understand that the children of Israel, the sounding of the trumpet, that had much instruction, that had much to say. Of course, it had the most to say for those whom have lost their inheritance, for those that were still in bondage. And what a sweet music it was to the ears unto those. Thirdly, the manner it was announced. Let us first sing. Psalter 326, the four stanzas. Thy promised mercy send to me, thy great salvation, Lord. So shall I answer those who scoff. My trust is in thy word. And what follows, 326, the four stanzas. the blessed year of Jubilee. The poverty implied, the lessons it taught, and now thirdly, the manner it was announced. Then we can understand, congregation, that in the land of Israel, there were waiting souls. And then our boys and girls can understand it, that the one had to wait longer than another. For one who has lost his inheritance 1 year before the year of Jubilee, it would be a year. For other ones, it would be more. And then for such a one, when they were given to walk past their inheritance, how their thoughts would have multiplied. Oh, at times perhaps distressed, afraid, that they would die before that trumpet was sounded. Oh, then it cannot be different that there were sometimes those in the same circumstances, in the same situation, that they have tried to encourage each other and that they have said, oh, be not too discouraged, because the Lord has appointed the Feast of Jubilee, and there shall come a time when the trumpet shall sound, that we shall receive the full liberty, and that we may return to our inheritance and to our family. And now that word Jubilee, that comes from a root that refers to a ram's horn, it can also mean to restore. It can refer to a stream of a rich sound. We read in Psalm 89, verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, young and old. Are there such souls in my midst that are awaiting for the blowing of the trumpet of Jubilee, for the first time, but also in continuance, for the application, for further instruction, for consolation? In the Old Testament, then the trumpet that was blown on different occasions for different purposes. Oh, in the Feast of Jubilee, it was the blowing of the trumpet of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we have mentioned before that trumpet was blown on the great day of atonement, then that people were given to fast and to pray. We read of the blowing, the sound of the trumpet, in Exodus 19, when the law was given by the Lord. Then we read of special times, announcement, also the beginning of the new year, as we read in Leviticus 23, verse 24, that it was blown on the first day of the seventh month. In Numbers 10, we read that the silver trumpets were also blown when the children of Israel were called to march forward, leave the encampment where they have been resting, and go to another encampment. We also read in the Old Testament that the trumpet was blown, as we read in Joel 2, verse 15, for a day of fasting and humiliation because of the judgments of the Lord. We also read in Ezekiel 33 that the trumpet was to be blown when the enemy would come into the land and the Israelites were called to war. But now concerning the day of Jubilee, then it was the sound, as we read in Isaiah 52 verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring tidings of good things. And the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 61, concerning the trumpet of Jubilee, in the first two verses, then in the way of prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in Luke 4, when he has come, as was his custom on the Sabbath day, to the synagogue in Nazareth, and when he has opened the scriptures, then he has read these words out of the prophet Isaiah, and then he has said to the Jewish nation, this day is the scripture fulfilled in thy ears. Thus, what a precious music, what a precious sound it was for those Israelites that have lost their inheritance, that were in bondage. Oh, they were set free, young and old. Are there such souls in my midst? Oh, then what a precious trumpet of the Jubilee. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come in the fullness of time. In our verse, and in the following two verses, then each time we read, unto you. Oh, was that not the trumpet of the Jubilee, when we read of those shepherds in that dark night in the fields of Ephrathah, when it was such a personal message? Oh, it is true. It was glad tidings for all nations, a Savior declared to all people, that it is possible for each and every one to be saved. But for those shepherds, oh, the trumpet of the Jubilee, where the angel has declared, for unto you is born this day in the city of David Christ the Lord, which is a Savior. Oh, the trumpet of the gospel, behold, the Lamb of God. Oh, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Oh, that is the trumpet of the Jubilee, those precious invitations. Think of Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. And learn of me that I am meek and lowly of heart. Oh, young and old, then the scriptures, that is the gospel trumpet of the Jubilee, where it may be declared that there is a Savior for the chiefest of sinners. Do we not read in Matthew 1 verse 21 that he shall be called Jesus, because he has saved this people from their sins? Oh, the scriptures declared the precious trumpet of the Jubilee. It was upon the Day of Atonement. And then in the inspired word of God, it is declared how that justice has been satisfied, that the Father has given his dear Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, it is true, in the Old Testament, it was a joyful sound, the trumpet of the Jubilee. They may be free, they may return to their inheritance, but what is that compared concerning that spiritual deliverance? Do we not read in Psalm 146 verse 7, the Lord looseneth the prisoners? Oh, young and old, are there a few prisoners in my midst? that go bow down over the earth because of your sins, because of that lost inheritance, because of that lost communion, and on account of that love shed abroad in the heart. Oh, then the sweet trumpet of the gospel, that there is a Savior for the chiefest of sinners. Oh, John the Baptist, oh, it is true. We have heard from the Day of Atonement. Matters have transpired before that trumpet was sounded. It was based upon those two goats, that the one has been slain, the one has been sent away, pointed to the perfect satisfaction which the Son of God has given. But oh, concerning the trumpet of the Jubilee, what blessings implied do we not read in John 8 verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And therefore, oh, for concern, for seeking, for burdened souls, then in this day it may be proclaimed, Jesus Christ, oh, the bride, we read of the psalmist in Psalm 45, verse 2, that thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured out upon thy lips. Oh, concerning the sound of the trumpet of the Jubilee, and that's so precious for the children of God, not only for the first time, but also by renewal. Oh, may it be in this season, and that we may receive more further light, further instruction, the application of the merits of Jesus Christ. Our last thought, the blessings it granted. Then following that blowing of the trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month, then there was a special feast from the 15th, beginning the 15th day, which would last 7 days. And that was a feast of rejoicing and a feast of gladness. And then they were called to dwell in booths, calling to consider the blessings which the Lord has granted unto them. But then for those that have received their inheritance back, then it was a special time of thanksgiving and of praise. Oh, praise the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Ah, then such an Israelite, oh, it is true. Of course, for the natural Israelite, there would be gladness that they may return to their inheritance. Following year, they could farm it, ownership. We know that the true thankfulness that is given by the Lord, the spiritual pilgrim, they have more reasons to praise the Lord, because that spiritual deliverance that is so much greater than that natural deliverance that the Israelite has received on the year of Jubilee. Then it was also a time that the families, not so busy, more time to spend together. Then fathers and mothers had special times that they could instruct their children concerning the things of the Lord, and even more so for those that have received their inheritance back. Then concerning the law, we read specifically on the sabbatical year at the Feast of Tabernacles, then that law was orally read to all those that have gathered. Then it was a time that they may rest, no creditor demanding payment. They may be given to rejoice, freed from many fears and worries. The sounding of the trumpet of Jubilee. that was deliverance. It is specifically mentioned was a year of rest. Also mentioned that they may return to their families, the family circles, to be given to speak of the things of the Lord. Oh, the Feast of Jubilee that has declared wonderful things, but now concerning the trumpet of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, that gospel declares that the salvation of the church that lieth so sure. Oh, that covenant of grace, the work of a triune God, that the church shall be delivered, and it is only a little beginning here below. When we consider this feast and our text words, then a portion of verse 10, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants. Those words, they are written upon a big bell in the city of Philadelphia in the States. That bell, and we see in those days it was such a different time, that even the governments, what a large place that God's word had in the government buildings. And they tell us that bell was cast in England and brought to Philadelphia in 1752. And then the first time they have rang that bell, maybe because of the vibration, it was a big bell, weighed 943 kilos. Thus a very large bell. But that bell, with the first ringing, then it is cracked. They have made a new one. It is rung from 1753 to 1841. They have also rung that bell on July 8, 1776, when the Declaration of Independence was read. But then in 1841, then that large bell has cracked again. But now concerning the things of the Lord, have to be careful when we compare natural things with spiritual. But that natural large bell of liberty with that beautiful text written upon it, where it was the desires of those that have also written the Declaration of Independence, the founding of a new nation, that it would be a nation under God, and also a nation that would enjoy many natural liberties. But that bell has cracked twice. But now concerning the trumpet of the gospel, oh, that lieth so sure, 'tis the work of a triune God. That gospel, the first time it has been blown, that was in Genesis 3 verse 15. And then each time by renewal concerning the promises of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the New Testament, then in the fulfillment thereof. Was a profound day when that trumpet has sounded throughout all the land. It was the proclamation of liberty for the poor and for the oppressed, for the proud and for the rich, maybe not even so glad when they were called upon to hand some of their fields back. But congregation, of course, we do not live in the Old Testament. There's not a certain day that we listen for that blowing of the trumpet concerning the things we have spoken of. But I do read in the scriptures that there shall come a day that another trumpet shall sound, not only for the land of Israel, but that shall be a trumpet that shall be heard by all nations, by all people. The noise of the trumpet shall be heard by all the graves and by all the dead. And then it shall not be the trumpet of the gospel, because when that trumpet sounds, the last one has been converted. But it shall be the trumpet that shall call the quick and the dead to judgment. And then we shall all be placed before the judge. And then the judge shall ask us, where the trumpet of the gospel has sounded so often in the congregation of Pitcher Butte, free and sovereign grace, the precious work of a triune God, the call of the trumpet. Because John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, in their preaching, they have begun, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then the question is, how is it now with us, the beginning of Advent? Have we become poor and needy? Or are we still rich and increased with goods? No desire, no need for the gospel, my unconverted fellow travelers. Oh, ask the Lord. Beg him, seek him, while he may be found. Oh, for burdened sinners, what a precious trumpet. The way that God's justice may be satisfied, his name glorified, and our souls saved. With that final blowing of the trumpet, oh, it is true, at the day of their death, then the church is delivered concerning their soul. But on the great day of judgment, then for body and soul, oh, it is written in Hebrews 4 verse 9, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. The Lord has a people that is a blessed people, as we sing in Psalter 422, how blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear thy voice in happiness abound. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard out of the Old Testament, the Holy Scriptures, wonderful things and a wonderful type that points to the Jubilee of the New Testament, where thy Son has come upon this earth, where he was born, where he suffered and died, where he has satisfied thy justice, and where he has given that command to the church, that trumpet must be sounded throughout all the nations of the earth. Lord, then how privileged we are that that trumpet may sound, howbeit with many shortcomings, and then, thou knowest, then we need the work of the Holy Spirit, that our ears may be opened, our hearts opened, that there may come room for that glorious gospel and a people that is given to rejoice and that is so dependent upon Thee for the immediate working of Thy Holy Spirit, because Thou hast a people that learn of self that they are so poor that it must come all from above. And then what a privilege and blessing it is. May it so be in the time of Advent that there are many a soul with those empty sacks that may be given by true saving faith to go to the greater Joseph and to receive the fullness of Thee. Lord, wilt Thou watch over us in this day? Wilt Thou remember and help the family circles? Do grant traveling mercies and bring us back in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 422. The fifth stanza, how blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear Thy voice in happiness abound. With steadfast step they walk, their countenances beaming, and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce that the banner of truth is at the exit. Psalter 422, the fifth stanza. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.